Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious riches of Your grace that we get to come before You and call You our Father. We thank You for the beautiful relationship that we have with You, and we ask that You would help us to understand it better now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We'll read the entirety of the chapter of John 17. It's found on page 1461 if you have a Bible from the back. We'll also be looking at Lord's Day 46. Lord's Day 46 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which you can find on page 894 in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal. Page 894, Lord's Day 46. But first we'll look at John chapter 17, verses 1 through 26. Hear now the word of our God from John chapter 17. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You, as You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was. I have manifested Your name to the men whom You have given Me out of the world. They were Yours. You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Now they have known that all things which You have given Me are from You. For I have given to them the words which You have given to Me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from You, and they have believed that You sent Me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours. And all Mine are Yours, and Yours are Mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to You, Holy Father. Keep through Your name those whom You have given Me, that they may be one as We are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Your name. Those whom You gave Me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to You, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have My joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that You should take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth. As You sent Me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And the glory which You gave Me I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one, in them and You in Me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known You, but I have known You, and these have known that You sent Me. And I have declared to them Your name, and will declare it, that the love with which You have loved Me may be in them, and I in them. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Then looking at Lord's Day 46 of the Heidelberg Catechism, on page 894, question answer 120 deals with the first phrase of the Lord's Prayer. Why has Christ commanded us to address God as our Father? Answer, to awaken in us at the very beginning of our prayer what should be basic to our prayer, a childlike reverence and trust that through Christ God has become our Father and will much less refuse to give us what we ask in faith than will our parents refuse us the things of this life. Question answer 121 asks, why the words, who is in heaven? Answer, these words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly way and to expect from his almighty power everything needed for body and soul. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we get to the first line in the Lord's Prayer, the address. To whom are we praying? And Jesus instructs us to pray to our Father who is in heaven. Our Father. Why can we call God the Father our Father? Why would Jesus instruct us to do that? We were formerly enemies of God. The most that you would reasonably expect is to be able to call God Master, or Lord, or Sovereign, and we would be servants. But now God the Father is our Father, and we are His children. Because in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, not only was our sin put on His back and His righteousness put on ours, but by the sacrifice of Christ, He purchased us to be adopted into the family of God. And so God the Father is my Father. He is your Father. We see this in the prayer in John chapter 17. We learn how we can call God the Father our Father. Because as Jesus says in verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Meaning, we have been saved and we have been redeemed by Christ. And then in verse 6, I have manifested your name, the Father's name, to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Meaning, not only has Christ saved us and delivered us and brought us to himself as his children, but he has revealed to us himself as being our Father. It's a sort of an important aspect, isn't it? It's sort of important that Jesus also manifests the Father for us so that we can know the Father. And when we consider all that Jesus teaches us about our Heavenly Father, we learn that our Heavenly Father is a perfect Father. Our Heavenly Father is the one in whom we can always rely. Always rely. He is never too busy for us. He is never far from us. He's never getting his priorities wrong. He's never breaking his promises. He's never abusive in word or deed. He's always loving, always gracious, always leading us, always correcting us, always giving us what is best for us, providing for us. He's near to us. He's always there for us. He is the perfect Father. What a privilege, then, it is for us to say to our Father in heaven, "Our Father, He is my Father." We have to see what a great privilege that is. That's not a right that we deserve. It is a gift that is given. And while, of course, we can say that the Father is my Father in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to say, "Our Father." While we are all loved individually and specifically by our Heavenly Father, we are not alone. We have a lot of siblings. And what a blessing that is for us to say, "Our Father." That we know with all Christians, we share the same Heavenly Father. We are all members of the same family. And while we get to be loved individually, and we get to pray individually, and pray for ourselves individually, we are also permanent members of something that's far bigger than ourselves. We are members of the family of God. And so we get to pray to our Heavenly Father about each other and for each other. And what a blessed privilege that is. One thing that I've noticed on social media is when someone has something bad happen to them, and if they have non-Christian friends, atheist friends, what's the phrase that they use? "I'm sending positive thoughts your way." I'm sorry, but what good does that do? What difference does that make? Oh, you're thinking positive. I don't even know what that means. I'm sending positive thoughts your way. I'm hoping something good happens to you, I guess. But what does that matter? What can that person do for you? Nothing. But when we say, "I'm praying for you," that is deeply encouraging. Why? Because we know that that person is lifting us up to the one person that can help us, our Heavenly Father. That we are brought up by our brothers and sisters to the throne of grace. What a blessing that is. Let us never take that great gift for granted. That we can pray for one another, and that is no small thing. And we have to recognize this wonderful privilege that we have. We get to call the first person of the holy and undivided Trinity, one who is himself God, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, who is love, who is gracious, merciful, compassionate, patient, and just. We get to call him our Father. He's my Father, and he's your Father. He is our Father. And we get to pray for ourselves before his throne, and we get to pray for each other before his throne. And we know with certainty that he, as a Father, will hear us. And he will answer us. This is why I chose John chapter 17 as our text. This is one of those passages where you can't help but feel so warm and loved by God. Because this is a sure reminder for us that Jesus is praying for us. He is lifting us up to the Father. What a glorious thought that is, that our Savior is praying for us. But also it is a text that gives us a good example to follow in many ways. While there are certainly things in this prayer that we cannot pray, because they are things that only the only begotten Son of God can say, like in verse 2, as you have given him, Christ, authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him, or verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. We obviously cannot pray those things. Those are things that only Jesus can say. But Christ does give us a pattern of prayer here. You notice that there are three sections to this prayer. Jesus starts with praying for himself in verses 1 through 5. Then for his disciples there with him in verses 6 through 19. And then finally for all his people in verses 20 through 26. It is, of course, a great pattern for prayer. But even more than that, and this is what I want us to see in this passage, is the closeness with which Christ prays to the Father. Because we, by his blood, have been adopted into the family of God, and so we can pray to our Heavenly Father with a similar kind of closeness that Christ himself prays here. We get to share what is going on in our lives. We get to share what we are feeling, whether right or wrong, and come to him and ask him to help straighten them out or thank him for them. We get to come to him with all of our problems and know that he will hear us and answer us. We get to come before him and thank him for all the blessings that he's given to us. When we are tired and weary of the struggles of this life, we can ask him to help us, and he will carry us. Just like a little child on a hike asking their father to carry them when their legs are tired. When we are sad from being hurt and have our hearts broken and betrayed, not knowing the words to say, but only the sound of crying, he is there to pick us up off the floor. When we are weeping over life's tragedies, he is there to dry our tears and warmly embrace us with his comforting presence and words of surety and promise. When we are lonely and just need someone to open our heart up to, he is there in his powerful, still presence, always readily listening. It is this kind of closeness that we have with our Heavenly Father and that we can speak to him with. This is the kind of intimacy that we share with him because of the sacrifice of Christ. And brothers and sisters, if any of us are ever afraid to open our hearts up to our Heavenly Father, let us think upon this glorious thought. Our Heavenly Father sent his only begotten Son into this world to be the purchase price for our adoption into his family. If he gave us his Son, would he not also freely give us all things? If he loved us enough to give us his Son, to pay for our sins, which he already knew we were going to commit, why would we not come to him? Why would we not come to him? He already knew what we would do. And he already provided a way to fix it. When we think of adoption today, we think of how that family had to pay quite a substantial sum in order to adopt that child, and hopefully when they adopt that child, they love that child unconditionally as their own. But think about the father being willing to give the greatest and most costliest price God Almighty could pay. His own Son in order to purchase us. If you ever wonder how much your Heavenly Father values you, He values you as His own child. There's an infinite amount that is paid for you to be His child. That is how much the Father values you. That's how much He loves you. That's how highly the Father thinks of us and thinks of our lives. Why would we be afraid to go to Him? Why should we ever delay in going to Him? And then think about this. And we are not just some orphans having done nothing good or bad to Him. But we were His enemies. And yet the Father loved us enough that He wanted to adopt us by the only way possible, with the greatest of prices. I'm going to use an analogy now, and you do have to recognize that all analogies break down at some point, and it's not perfect. But we have to try to grapple our minds around this. We have to see how amazing the Father's love is. Imagine, if you would, an orphan child burn down your house, killing your son in the house, in the fire. Imagine that. And then, with all the money that you had left, you paid the price to get that orphan out of juvie, and the price to adopt that child into your family in order to love them. We are that orphan. We did that. With Adam and Eve in the garden, we burned down God's good creation, casting it into sin's curse. And then the Father sent us His Son, and we killed Him with our sin. The Father sent us His Son, and with our sin we killed Him on that cross. And maybe you say, I can't understand that. I can't imagine doing that. If someone burned down my house, killing one of my children, I can't imagine loving that person enough to pay the price to get them out of prison and to adopt them into my own family. I can't imagine doing that. I can't imagine loving that kid after what that kid did to me. I can't imagine paying all that I had to get that kid out of prison, which is what he deserves, and then pay the price to adopt him. So how is it possible that the Father would love me after what I have done? And of course, the reason that we cannot fathom why the Father would do that for us, or how He could do that for us, is because His grace and His love is far greater than we can understand or imagine. And we don't have to sit back and wonder, would the Father do that for us? He's already done it. none of us will ever fully understand it. Even that analogy breaks down a million times over in trying to describe the love that the Father has for us. But we have to try to see this a little farther and understand God's grace a little deeper. This is the blessed privilege that we have. Every time we pray and we get to call upon our Father. This is how good we have it. This is how come every single day of our lives we can say, I am blessed. I have so much to be thankful for. Because my Heavenly Father, the God of all creation, loves me and has adopted me as His child. I never have to wonder, how much am I worth? What is my value? Because God's already given the answer. Infinite. We never have to question, will God hear me? Will He answer me? Will He give me what I need? Look to the cross and you see the answer there. Of course He will. He already has. The Father's love and grace for you is that big and it is that great. And so we can talk to Him with a similar intimacy that Christ talks to Him, to the Father here in John 17. And what should that do for us whenever we take those words upon our lips, our Father? We should tremble. We should tremble with the sacredness and the blessedness that we get to call God the Father, our Father, my Father. This is the intimacy that Christ gives to us. And this is the intimacy that the Father has planned for us to have with Him. What more could we do than go to Him and thank Him and praise Him? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to call You our Father. We pray that You would remind us every day who we are. We are Your child, adopted by the blood of Christ. Remind us of the blessedness that we have every single day. That we are ushered behind the curtain by Christ Himself into Your presence that we may speak with You. As a child speaks to his father. Lord, this is the blessedness that we get to enjoy every single day of our lives. Cultivate in our hearts a deep desire to spend time with You. To enjoy this relationship that Christ has purchased for us and that You have given us and have desired for us since before the foundations of the world were laid. Help us to understand and be confident more and more every day of your love for us and of the grace that you constantly bestow upon us. We pray this, Heavenly Father, with thanksgiving in our hearts, because your love is so amazing. It is so divine. It is so far beyond us that we cannot possibly imagine to completely comprehend it. But help us to see it a little better. Help us to see a little farther. Help us to grow in it. And may we reflect your love to all around us. Remind us of these blessed privileges that we have because you are our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.